Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil Advocates Radio Show, Dominic, a live Tuesday edition. We're doing it live, baby. I'm back here in Madtown in the world headquarters. I got Ebone with me, lightly screening the calls. And Dom, you're back in the hidden bunker fortress somewhere.
Good to be with you, Crudy, on a beautiful Tuesday here in Wisconsin that feels like a Friday.
I got to tell you, buddy, the weather in southern Wisconsin, significantly warmer than the weather where I started this morning. Yeah. It was cold this morning in northern Wisconsin, started in Amory, Polk County, and now here I am in Madison, Dane County, ready to be super cool on the radio with you. You know, I'll do the heavy lifting, usually okay. Have to.
Yeah, thank God, man. I'll talk to you next week.
You know, more accurately, I've invited a good friend down. She is Judge Chris Taylor, and she's going to join us at 4:30.
Nice. It's been too long.
And she is always a talkative guest. I love Chris and that quality about her. No longer a lawmaker. You know, she's not constrained. She's the honorable Chris Taylor now. But anyways, I'm not going to stop her. 4:30, she'll join me here in the world headquarters, here at Devil Radio. And then Dom, a mutual friend, but Milwaukee's corporate counsel, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, our good friend, Attorney Maggie Dawn. Maggie Dawn joining us in the 5 o'clock hour. I'm telling you, man, we've got some superior guests today.
Yes, we do. Look forward to it.
And we're hopeful that these two very smart, talented guests are going to do the actual heavy lifting today. Dom, there was a headline. I had just seen it very recently. Joe Biden, the student loan pause, because, of course, the actual forgiveness of debt is currently paused in the courts, stayed in the courts, right? Yes. Biden can't do it. Not yet. So anyways, Biden's doing what he can do for, you know, students, the American people. He's pausing the student loan debt, I believe, until next June.
Wow. Okay.
Till the end of next June. End of second quarter. I mean, these deadbeat kids haven't paid student loans in years, have they?
I know. I could kind of get used to that. You know, I always say, Crudy, I'd rather owe it to you forever than never pay you.
Now, are they still collecting the VIG the whole time? The United States government, while these payments are on pause, they're still collecting interest, right? They're still accumulating them. Isn't that the way loans work?
Generally speaking, that is the way loans work, certainly. But it all depends on what the pause entails and to what degree the pause and what it goes to. So I'm not clear if it's the interest or not. We'll find out. I'm certainly... we should find that out because that's very important. I mean, who would want to? I mean, it's one thing to pause and then what? You're going to have this interest collect all of a sudden at the end of it all. And in years, they say, oh, sorry, can't do it. I'd be a little mad.
Vinny's coming for your kneecaps. Right. This is relatively breaking news. CNN reporting as thus. The Biden administration is yet again extending the pause on federal student loan payments. That doesn't clarify yet, does it, Tom? That began in March 2020. To help people who were struggling financially due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, I'm not saying it's not a good thing. You know, if I wasn't paying my student loan debt since March of 2020, but eventually, Dom, I'd like to get rid of it, right? You'd like to have some resolution on this topic. But anyways,
certainly.
The extension comes as the Biden administration student loan forgiveness program is tied up in the courts. Officials had told borrowers the forgiveness program, which is worth up to $20,000 in debt relief per borrower, would be implemented before loan payments were set to resume in January. The payment pause will last until 60 days after the litigation is resolved. If the program has not been implemented and the litigation has not been resolved by June 30th, the date Crudy referenced prior, payments will resume 60 days after that, according to the Department of Education. So did you catch all that? Actually, it wouldn't be payments till like August 1st.
Right, right.
I'm completely confident. My plan is legal. I heard the former president say that many times. Yeah. Here's what Joe Biden said in a video posted to Twitter Tuesday. I'm completely confident my plan is legal. But it isn't fair to ask tens of millions of borrowers eligible for relief to resume their student debt payments while the courts consider the lawsuit, he added. Last week, the Department of Justice asked the Supreme Court to step in and reinstate the student loan forgiveness program while the legal challenges play out. The program was struck down by a lower court judge in Texas on November 10th, and the payment pause extension gives the Supreme Court time to hear the case in its current term, Biden said. The administration had previously said the most recent extension until the end of December would be the last until the next one. Tuesday's announcement marks the eighth time the repayment start date has been rescheduled since March of 2020. Eighth time, Dom. If I told my landlord eight different times, well, you know, I'll pay you tomorrow. I'll pay you the day after that. I'll pay you next Tuesday for a hamburger today. Right. I mean, I understand why we implemented this pause in the first place. And I'm not going to pretend just because I've long since paid back my student loan debt doesn't mean I didn't receive other forms of payment debt relief during the pandemic. I, like many other small business owners, was a recipient of PPP loans. And as fate would have it, I didn't even have to apply for any sort of forbearance on my SBA loan, my small business association loan that yours truly had to finance radio stations. They just gave me a pause. In fact, they made the payments for me. Principal and interest.
And interest.
It was strange. I didn't even ask. So that was the grandiose benefit offered to me as an SBA borrower through my bank. So I'm not here to shake a fist. It's not like some kids got it great and, you know, what about me? I paid mine back. Well, you know what? I received other substantial, at least on behalf of my business and my employees, because that's what we did with the money. We paid staff. But eventually, Dom, you got to start paying the man. The big comes due. Vinny's coming for your knees.
Well, only eventually if Biden's plan turns out to be illegal, unconstitutional, unapproved by the courts. Then, yes. So until then, okay, I'm fine with this. Let's have some resolution. We're talking about $20,000 in federal loans for up to 40 million borrowers, Crudy. As the Washington Post reports, the legal battles have left millions of student loan borrowers in the lurch. More than half of the eligible people had applied for Biden's loan forgiveness program before it was ground to a halt, with the Education Department approving some 16 million applications. Despite the hold on the program, the department over the weekend notified people that their applications were approved, assuring them the administration will discharge the debt if it prevails in court.
Let's get our buddy Ebon in. Ebon, do you mind if I bring you into this?
Not at all, my friend.
You made application. You are a younger man than either Dominic or I. Yeah. A little closer to school age, let's just say.
Sure.
And you expressed to us that you have actually been deemed eligible for some relief from student loans.
It was extremely easy, right? It took all of 30 seconds to actually fill out the form. And then, yes, so I think it was even on the weekend, I got the email saying, you have been approved. We're getting sued right now, but hey, you know, just hang on.
How long you got to hang on for, man? Ugh.
Hey, at least till June, right?
Hang on, Snoopy, right? Now, I guess from your point of view, it's worth hanging on.
Oh, yes.
Right. But what happens, Ebon, seriously, what happens if the federal courts, the Supreme Court rules next June, not only are you not eligible for this sort of forgiveness, but you've been accumulating interest throughout that period of time? And don't think consumers haven't been screwed worse than that.
It's so back to reality.
I'm not wishing against you, buddy.
Oh, of course not. And this is a possibility I have always kept, right? Up until I got that, the actual letter, I kept open the possibility that I wouldn't be eligible, right? Because I was a little bit delinquent, you know, might have not paid on it in a few years. And so I was open to the possibility that I wouldn't be approved anyways. I'd have to get real, you know, and bootstrap my way out of this thing. And I can do that again if need be.
So ultimately, the pause is worth it for you, even if there is some accumulated interest, which, you know, I guess that'll be up to the judges. I'm not clear.
Let me ask you this, Ebone, if you're willing to tell us, would the student loan forgiveness amount extinguish all of your student loan debt?
It would. As a Pell Grant recipient, it's not like almost $20,000, right? My outstanding loans. Somewhere in the middle there, but thanks to that Pell Grant bonus, right, that extra $10,000, it would eliminate all the outstanding amount.
So you have a dog in this fight.
I sure do.
Because what you're effectively saying is you've got a statement saying you should never have to make another student loan payment. In fact, in January, the entirety of the debt should be forgiven based upon what you were promised by Joe Biden, the president of the United States. And if that doesn't come to fruition, whose fault is it?
It's that lady in Mississippi, right?
Well, I would point at a few Republican attorney generals, but ultimately, you know, I'm hoping for the sake of the students, because a young guy like you, recently married, man, if you could get rid of that student loan debt, hell, man, you might be buying a house next year.
That's exactly what I was going to say. That's exactly what I was going to say.
You know, it is very important to many, many borrowers. I am a little worried about extending the relief, especially for those that wouldn't fall in this category. Because what if you would still have a balance due? Shouldn't those people be paying, or is it simply those that are due for this forgiveness?
You know, I'm just very
I can see exempting him, but if I got 100 grand in debt.
These young college kids are going to get all this money, and they're going to hoard it. What happens next? Next thing you know, they're buying Twitter and running it into the ground.
Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates. Feels good to be back here in the mothership. We got Chris Taylor coming very soon, but you could be next. Join us on the big show. It's a Tuesday that feels like a Friday because we ain't doing it live tomorrow. I got some traveling to do. Dom's got other day drinking or something on his calendar.
Very, very, very busy.
So enjoy us right up to Chris Taylor coming at 4:30. Join us, 844-96-PARTY.
I suppose one must forgive the excesses of adolescence.
And if you don't know, now you know. Everybody was kung fu fighting.
Those kids were when they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines open. We'll go there. 844-967-2789. Our pal, Judge Chris Taylor, the honorable one, going to join us at the bottom of the hour. But, Crudy, I want to put a little bow on this quickly. Found at the USA Today, in addition to the waived payments, the Education Department, the interest rates for federal student loans have been set at 0%, and loan servicers have stopped attempting to collect overdue debts.
So no
while
big.
This moratorium has been going on, so there's no big being accrued.
You know, not everyone agrees with this. 844-967-2789. A new caller, Dale from Oshkosh. Dale, you think the kids should be paying back their debts. Tell us about it,
sir. Well, here's the reason why.
Sure.
As a non-traditional, are you there?
Yes, sir. We're listening.
Okay. As a non-traditional student at UW Oshkosh, and I had to take out student loans after I spent down a lot of my assets, including a big chunk of my 401k, because of bad advice from the financial aid office at that school. The thing is, my debts got farmed out from Great Lakes over to private carriers, different banks, the thing is, all during the whole COVID moratorium, I had to continue my payments. There was no interest forbearance or anything like that. And the other thing is, when I call to make my monthly payments on my loan, I find out that I'm not eligible for the Biden program because apparently my loans are the wrong prefix. I'm non-subsidized Stafford loans. And so the thing is, I had to file through, what was it, not Pfizer or whatever it's called, you know, the agencies for my loans, but and thought I was doing everything normal. And, you know, and now I find out that, no, my loans don't qualify because apparently my income prior to needing to borrow had been too high. And maybe I could have filed differently years, you know, into my education. But the Dale, point is, I've been paying every day.
Yes, sir. Dale, let me ask you, you got kids? I got kids. I got one that's in college right now. I got one that went through a vocational school. I don't know if she's eligible for forgiveness. She may have paid hers off. But Dale, how about your kids, man? Would you begrudge, like a young guy like our Ebone, would you begrudge a guy like that who maybe is eligible? And I get it, man. It sucks. It sucks for you, Dale. And I'm not saying that with any glee. I'm saying it truly sucks for you, sir. But would you begrudge someone else that got that benefit just because you were not eligible for it?
Well, you know, the thing is, it's crazy because I don't like to begrudge. But the only thing is, I mean, you know, I've been paying my way on this, been trying to pay it down. I've actually haven't had full opportunity to reach my income potential of what my education was. Because I'm now taking care of a shut-in parent and doing that for minimal amount. And so really that $10,000 would have come in very handy to reducing my outstanding debt. I guess what will happen is I'll probably end up defaulting when I die.
I hear you, Dale. I also heard you mention that you're a caregiver and, it's shocking to me the number of people that are either unpaid caregivers or find themselves as in this role because a disabled kid, a veteran in the family, an elderly person in the family. It's like one in five adults find themselves in this caregiver role. Dale, I would encourage you. We have a show that we play out on this network. I believe it's going to play on WISS where you listen, 98.3 FM, Oshkosh Air Support. I believe it plays out Thursday night. It's called the Empowered Caregiver Show. And Dale, my wife is a caregiver. She's one of the hosts of that show. I'm plugging the family product, I guess, here. But there are a lot of people like you, Dale, and you've got a couple of unique circumstances. But I'd encourage you to listen to the show and realize there are a lot of people in this world like you. And there is perhaps some comfort to be had from other people that are similarly in this role, sir. So the Empowered Caregiver, there's a little plug for Kristen and Liza's show. Ebone produces
it. And I'm not clear, some resources available for those kinds of things, if nothing else.
They're good resources to each other. They can point each other towards the resources available. And I know the team that Kristen and Liza that do this show have had everyone from Trump administration officials at the top of the federal government on down. It's not just you, Dale. It's a lot of Americans.
844-967-2789. Thanks for the call, Dale. Dan from Madison, you are next. Welcome, Dan. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dan.
Hey, I was going to say, you know, I'm really hoping that this does pass. I'm a teacher, and as a teacher, one of the promises that was made when I, you know, went into education was that I would be able to discharge the debt as a public service loan forgiveness. Well, I went and tried to do that, and I don't qualify for public service loan forgiveness, even though I've been a teacher for 12 years, and I still owe more than enough that I, you know, if this goes through, I can actually discharge it. But, you know, all these other programs were put in place and then they're constantly messed with and then you don't qualify for the program that you were promised you would qualify for.
Dan,
I mean, maybe that's what's happening right now, too.
Dan, I went through the military and joined the military in no small part to help with my college loan repayment. That was one of my benefits. Never got a nickel. Never got a nickel of my GI Bill. And I mean, I've paid back my loans now, Dan. I feel fortunate that, you know, I'm just paying somebody else's college tuition at this point. But yeah, man, it's there's a lot of stories about people that somehow just fell through the cracks and they didn't get the benefit that some others got. And I think sometimes it leaves us resentful of the others that did get the benefit. But, you know, keep asking. There are things, there are ways to support one another and not resent one another. And, you know, ultimately, I blame Dom. Come back. Judge Chris Taylor, our good friend, more Devil's Advocates.
And, you know, don't ask me to get inside the mind of a liberal progressive socialist Marxist. Like,
if you're not happy here, you...
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Dominic, we welcome back a fine guest live in studio here with me in Madison. She is now Judge Chris Taylor, the Honorable Chris Taylor. Chris, welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
Well, hey, Chris.
Thank you. And it's just Chris. Thanks. You can call me that.
You know, I feel like I could end up as a defendant in your court someday. I want to be careful.
Well,
it wouldn't
you know,
be unprecedented,
know.
Chris.
I know. You have had an interesting experience in your career.
Many, many judges. Many yes. Judge me, Chris.
Many judge. Okay.
Chris, we've known you for so long as a state lawmaker, and I feel like we knew you even before that. You worked for Planned Parenthood, and you have been working in public service for a long time. Let's start with this aspect. How is this, your current role as a district court judge, how is that different than your legislative role?
Well, you know, I'm in the trial court. So if you watch Law and Order, that's where everything goes down, in the trial court. And it's a totally different position. I am an independent, neutral, impartial arbitrator, really, of disputes that come before me. Right now, I'm in the criminal court, and there's all kinds of fascinating constitutional issues that come up. Everyone has a different story. There's a lot of interaction with people, whether they be defendants or victims of crime or family members. So it's a very exciting place to be. It's a really important court because it's really where people get to be heard. Their voice matters. And I spend a lot of time listening and just trying to make the best, the fairest decisions that I can.
Chris, so far as a judge, have you resided, presided, maybe I'm using the wrong vocabulary, I apologize. Have you had any capital trials?
I have had a 3-week long homicide trial. I've had a lot of trials. With COVID, we didn't do trials in Dane County. Before I got there, trials were shut down. And so the amount of experience that I've got has been so accelerated because when I arrived, we were very much behind because COVID really shut down the courthouse. So I've had just a ton of trial experience. Pretty much every other week, I have a trial going on. And, you know, that's been fun. It is my job to ensure that people get a fair chance, that people get to be heard. And that is a real honor. And that's very different than the legislature. I felt like a lot of times the voice of the people never was heard or was disregarded or discounted. In the courtroom, it's really important. It really matters. And so it's a real privilege.
Chris, I also know your role as a mother is very important to you. And I know when Dom and I would encourage you to go run for some higher office, you'd always tell us, but I got the young kids. Chris, you know, they, like the rest of us, are getting a little bit older every day. How's that been? How's that adjustment been?
You know, my kid, gosh, I started when I first ran for the assembly, I had a baby. I had a 6-month-old baby. That baby's 12 years old now, and my older son is 16. It's hard to believe. But of course, like so many working people, working moms around the state of Wisconsin, you try to do the best you can. You balance those roles. This next opportunity and running for this appellate court that I'm now running for is... You know, it's any race you run is super time consuming. This is a 24 county district that I'm running in.
Well, explain that. Let me slow you down. You're listening to The Devil's Advocates. Our fine guest here with me in Madison is Judge Chris Taylor. She is currently a district court judge, but you've announced your candidacy for the 4th district of the appellate court, and that's the next step up. That's one below the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and it always seems a little odd to me, but we actually make our judges run for office here in the state of Wisconsin, and you're running for the appellate court, and most people who haven't been a defendant in the appellate court, like myself, Chris, may not know what that means. So take a minute. Tell them about the appellate court.
Sure. So we have an appellate. It's the interim appellate court before the state Supreme Court. And what the appellate court does is make sure we at the trial court, the judges at the trial court, do things correctly and apply the law correctly and make sure we are respecting people's constitutional rights. So it's really a check on us in the trial court level. It's a really important court. A lot of very important decisions come from the Court of Appeals before they go up to the state Supreme Court, and people have the right to appeal. And so they deal with a lot of appeals, whereas the Supreme Court takes the cases, you know, that they want to. The Court of Appeals takes all appeals. And so it's a very high volume court, but really important court. A lot of decisions are going to be made finally in the Court of Appeals and never get to the state Supreme Court.
Chris, I wanted to ask you specifically because of your engagement with Planned Parenthood, your thoughts on the Roe v. Wade situation. A couple of areas to address. One, the leaking of the decision prior to it actually being released by the court. And number two, Josh Call's efforts here in the state of Wisconsin to fight to overturn the 1849 law. Want to get your sense on their strategy and where you think that could possibly go.
Well, obviously, the Dobbs decision, you know, I had worked for Planned Parenthood as their legal and policy director for almost 8 years before I ran for office in the legislature. So, you know, I love and I'm so committed to protecting people's constitutional rights. So that was a disappointing decision. I don't understand how you can look at the 14th Amendment, which was an amendment passed to free formerly enslaved people and to guarantee their liberty, and conclude there's no right to make decisions about your body or your families. It's very perplexing. It doesn't make sense to me on a practical level. So obviously it was an alarming decision. We do have a concept called stare decisis, and that is to make sure the judiciary isn't swinging back and forth and isn't uprooting social norms that we have adopted in this country. And certainly Roe versus Wade was the law of the land. I grew up with it. You know, my mom grew up with it. Not so for my grandma, but it was, you know, it's a concerning decision. And it is an issue that is going to be in the public discourse now for a long, long time. In terms of legal strategy, there's a pending case actually in front of one of my colleagues. So I'm not gonna chat about what the strategy is or whether I think it's a, you know, what strategy it should be. But what I will say this is the 14th Amendment of the United States Constitution, this concept of liberty is also reflected in our state constitution. And so I think what you're gonna see is litigation really on what does a state constitution protect? And you're gonna see arguments that the state constitution that these constitutions that have, that protect people's rights and protect a liberty interest, probably protect the right to make reproductive health care decisions. I anticipate that's what you're gonna see in litigation.
Chris, okay, without the strategy though, if we have this 1849 law, it could be any 1849 law, and then, you know, subsequent 150 years, other laws are passed on the same kind of topic. What does that do to the 1849 law? Does that, you know, do these newer laws supersede the older laws? How does that work?
Well, I think you could assume that if you look at the statutes and you see there's been a lot of laws passed on abortion rights, and we're really restricting access, quite frankly. And you can ask yourself, well, why would those be needed if we had this ban? Well, I think what some people would say, well, they were needed, these additional restrictions, because Roe versus Wade put a stay on that ban. But that is an interesting situation that we're in, is now we have this 1849 ban in effect because of the Dobbs decisions, but then you have subsequent laws that have been passed that assume that that 1849 law isn't in effect. So it is an interesting legal question. You know, and then you have, like I said before, Dom, you have generations of people grown up that expect to have control over their bodies. That has been embedded in our society. And I think that's why you're seeing this just big pushback to this decision.
Folks, you are, pardon me, folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. One of our favorite advocates of sorts, she is Judge Chris Taylor. She has announced her candidacy for the 4th District of the Appellate Court. And Chris, first and foremost, the 4th District, broad strokes, is kind of like the 3rd Congressional District combined with the 2nd Congressional District. So you got to win over the same territory that Mark Pocan won over. I think you'll be just fine here. But also the territory that newly elected Congressman Derek Van Orden won over. A, it's a lot of real estate to cover, Chris. And B, it takes you from Madison all the way to the Mississippi River and really up to north central parts. How do you run this campaign? I know you've run campaigns before. I don't mind asking you political questions, but as a newly declared candidate, how do you win?
You win by going out and talking to the people about the importance of an independent, fair judiciary. I think we can all conclude it's more important than ever, honestly, in this age of just this hyper-partisanship that you see, this effort to overturn elections, this effort to roll back voting rights that we've seen. I think people really understand that the courts are more important than ever, and the courts are the forum for the protection of people's constitutional rights. They're a forum for people to have a fair shot, to not be swayed by partisanship, to actually be an independent voice and look at situations independently and try to come up with solutions independently, and of course to be fair to people. I think that's one of the most important things to me, is that people come to my where I preside in the courtroom, and they feel like even if I don't agree with them, they've been treated fairly. So that concept is what I'm going to be talking a lot about.
Chris, have the appellate courts been politicized in the same way that the Wisconsin State Supreme Court has? I mean, they're all supposed to be non-political candidates. You obviously, once upon a time, ran as a Democrat when you were a legislator, but this is a different role, a nonpartisan role. But by the time it gets to the Supreme Court, it's often very political. Chris, how about the appellate courts?
Not so much at the Court of Appeals level. I think, thankfully, the Court of Appeals, and there's 4 different districts, so there's 16 judges totally that make up the Court of Appeals in 4 different districts throughout the state. And you very aptly put what territory I have to cover. But no, you have not seen, thankfully, the kind of partisan campaigning in the Court of Appeals. The Court of Appeals has really stayed out of it, I think really prides themselves in being a true independent forum, a fair forum for people. And that's an appealing piece. That's a real appealing part for me about the Court of Appeals. I think my time in the legislature just showed me the dangers and the problems of extreme partisanship.
Chris, not that this is not a worthy position to seek, the Court of Appeals. I've had my cases run up to the Court of Appeals before. Very important to me personally. But Chris, I feel like you're building a judicial resume. And I guess I would wonder, I see a lot of people get in the race for the Wisconsin Supreme Court without a strong judicial resume. They haven't either served in the district court level or they've never been on the appellate court. And these are all things that perhaps would round out a great judicial resume if someone had higher ambitions someday. Chris, we've always encouraged you. Supreme Court or bust. Are we preparing you for the inevitable curse?
You know, I never say never, but this is a really important step that I'm really excited about. And I think it will help me you know, I bring a lot of experience and depth to it, but it's going to be a real challenge, and I always relish challenges.
Chris, if you can stick around for a few more minutes, we'd like to continue talking with you.
Sure.
And while I feel like we're old friends, I feel like in your new role, Judge Chris Taylor, some of the audience has to get to know you a little bit better. So sure. We'll play a speed round, a little get to know Chris Taylor.
Sure.
Judge and also candidate for the 4th District of the Wisconsin Court of Appeals. It doesn't sound as sexy as Supreme Court, but it's a very important role, and she's running for it. We'll come back with our friend Chris Taylor, more of the Devil's Advocates, the Tuesday edition. Taking care of business, working overtime. Woo! Taking care of business. Taking care of business. We've been taking care of business.
Good luck. We're all counting on you.
What you can do for your country.
I am 60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. If you miss any of this fine program, go to the website civicmedia.us, click on the shows tab, look for the Devil's Advocates, can find the podcast and interviews.
Dominic, I have with me here in the world headquarters, the Honorable Chris Taylor, Judge Chris Taylor. She is a newly announced candidate for the 4th District of the Wisconsin Court of Appeals, maybe building a judicial resume for what inevitably will come later when we push her towards a grander run. But anyways, Chris, for those that maybe don't know you as well, because you've been away from the legislature and you're not out there making a big splash like you used to. Let's start. Here in Madison, you served Madison as a state lawmaker. How long have you lived in Madison? Tell us a little something about your family, if you would.
Well, most of my adult life, I came to Madison in 1991 to go to law school at this great law school, and stayed and decided to raise my family here. And as I said, I have two kids in the Madison public schools. They keep me on my toes. My husband's a professor, and we have a beautiful, wonderful dog, Ollie. Ollie has been to court. Ollie is training to be a therapy dog. So Ollie is an important part of our family.
What breed, if I may ask?
He is a Labrador. Mm. Black Labrador, the best. Aww. Yeah, so he's awesome. And, you know, I love this community. I love this state. I made a decision to stay here. My passion is to give back. My passion is to improve people's lives and improve, you know, the rights that we enjoy, to protect those rights now as a judge, and to just try to do the best I can in contributing to our community and our state.
Chris, obviously, being a judge seemingly suits you well. Serving in the legislative minority had become a drag, and I'm sure it's a bit of a drag for your former colleagues and those that are newly elected to the Assembly and the Senate. Do you feel like as a judge, I mean, there's real power, and I'm not suggesting you would lord that power over people, but there's very little power in serving in a legislative minority. But there's real affect to people's lives in being a district court judge and potentially an appellate judge. Chris, do you feel that? I mean, what's that feel like from your position?
Well, look, the legislature really underscored to me that there are people behind every law you look at and every policy. And I never forget that in the courtroom. In the courtroom, I have people sitting right in front of me who are impacted by what I do. But look, I feel similarly in that the Capitol belonged to the people, and the courthouse does too. The courthouse is paid for by the people, belongs to the people. I wish more people came to see what we do in the trial court. I've had a couple school groups come and they've loved it. The kids have really enjoyed learning more about it. I think and that's something I'm very interested in doing, is being out there in the community, explaining what we do in the courthouse. But, you know, my time in the legislature really underscored for me that the laws are really about the people at the end of the day. And I never forget that. And I have people sitting right in front of me who are impacted by what I do.
Chris Taylor, my only fear ever in my entire life of voting has been the fact I might catch jury duty. So
it's fun.
As a district court judge, how could I avoid serving jury duty? Well, what could I say that would get me thrown off?
I'm never going to tell you. I will not tell you because I want to say I've been so impressed by the jurors here in Dane County. They are so thoughtful, methodical. They take it really seriously, their service. And the vast majority tell me it was a great experience. So I would encourage you, don't try to get off of jury duty. It will be a very good experience. You will learn a ton. And, you know, I think it's great for everybody to try to serve at one.
Chris, I would like to think the audience needs me here on the radio. I
okay,
can't
maybe.
Be spared for the ever important civic duty of serving on a jury. I'll leave that for Dom.
We'd love to have you, Dom. Please do not show up when you are summoned.
No shirking jury duty.
Don't shirk it. You will enjoy it. It's a really interesting civic duty. It's also your constitutional right, Dom, to serve on a jury. So don't
folks
forget
are listening
that.
To the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. That is the Honorable Judge Chris Taylor. We call her Chris. She's a friend of ours for just a couple more minutes. I did a couple years ago pull jury duty on a murder trial in Milwaukee. And it was certainly interesting. And it was draining. A bunch of us after it went out for drinks, and it was kind of surreal. I mean, anytime you sit in judgment of someone and what's going to happen, you know, we're not part of the, you know, we didn't decide what's going to happen. We just said yay or nay, you know, and it was yay. And I would imagine it was probably life in prison or something along those lines. And it is a responsibility, certainly. And it is a duty. And we did take it very seriously. And I was hoping to be on for like a drug case. I'd be like, not guilty. But that wasn't the case. Chris, just a couple more minutes. Wanted to get your opinion. Marquette University Law School polling. Found that national approval for U.S. Supreme Court has gone down in recent years. And we talk about how important it is the judiciary works, and we've seen some of that on display with the Stop the Steal stuff and all these, you know, fraudulent kind of lawsuits just thrown at the system. And I think that kind of, you know, degrades the value of what people perceive to be when it's politicized like that. I want to get your sense. Do you think that there's justification for people's, you know, approval going down specifically on the U.S. Supreme Court, and what could be done to address that in your opinion?
Look, this is the really good news is most of the judges that I have met, and I've met trial court judges all over this state, take their job very, very seriously. Having legitimacy in their community is extraordinarily important to them. They work very hard to be legitimate, for people to take what they do very, very seriously and to accept the consequences. So it's very alarming, honestly, when you have the highest court in the land lose the confidence of the people. I think it's very hard for a court to keep functioning. But I will tell you that the judges that I have met and I serve with really take that seriously. It's so important that the public see what we do and have confidence in what we do. And that's why I want to invite all of your listeners to come to Branch 12 in the Dane County Circuit Court. Please come sit in, see what we do. Happy to talk with you. But it's incredibly important that the public have confidence in what we do.
There's at least a 50-50 shot that one of the panelists will be there as a defendant. Chris Taylor, our good friend, Judge Chris Taylor, you got the Devil's Advocates bump. You did the right thing in your newly announced candidacy. But if people want to support your candidacy, Chris, let's not forget you're running for something. How can they do so?
Go to my website, Chris at chrisforjustice.com. Everything's there. I'm collecting nomination signatures starting December 1st. So if you live in one of these 24 counties all around the state in the south and central part of our state, you can sign my nomination papers. So go to my website. You can sign up to help.
Sign up to help. Chris Taylor, get on the ballot first. That will be a February primary, if necessary, and an April general election for the 4th District of the Court of Appeals. Chris Taylor, have a happy Thanksgiving. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Chris. It's been fun. Great to see you both.